Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the Republic. This is the Republic Roundtable for week 50, June 21st, 2012. My name is Robert Zuluaga, and I am your host. Our program is produced by Janine Stewart. You know, I apologize. I often just get right into it. I forget to do the professional thing of identifying who I am and what we are and what we stand for. So I just want to welcome all of you. I see the numbers just, we get started at 6 o'clock, and I just see the numbers flood in. And it's so exciting to see you all joining us and participating. It's very exciting to see that as we move forward week to week, we've got a couple of weeks here before we celebrate our first anniversary of the roundtable. And I just watch us moving from strength to strength. So I rejoice in the Lord in that. I welcome you this evening. We're going to be having some updates from our president, from Congress, and a representation from the justices to field some of your questions that invariably would have come up from last week's call. It was a long call, and we did not have an opportunity to fully explore the whole process of common law courts. So we'll get to that this evening. But before we do, I'd just like you to join with me in bowing your heads as we invite Roger Alexander from South Dakota to open us with a word of prayer.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Roger, I can, loud and clear. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. God bless everyone on the call tonight. And one of my favorite scriptures is, "Whatsoever thy hand findest to do, do it with all thy might." And that's something I've lived by. If you pick up something and you pick up a shovel, you put yourself in a position as a representative or senator or governor or something, just go for it. Do it with all your might as unto God. So tonight, we come to you, Lord, and we are so grateful for this republic. And God bless everyone on this call and in the work. And we just ask for your direction and your wisdom and your guidance that we would do what is right in your eyes. And we just give you all the glory and all the praise. And tonight, we just ask for your special blessing on this call, that whoever is invited to speak, that they would be anointed by you, and that we would all receive what we are supposed to have to continue on with this great, great work that you've given us. And without you, Lord, we could not do this. And we thank you and we praise you. And we give you all the praise for your protection, for your blessings, and everything that we are able to do with this republic. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Roger. Now tell me, did you tell me earlier that you are having a birthday today, or did you just celebrate your birthday?
I just did, May 22nd.
May 22nd. Oh, we're almost within 3 days of each other and a year.
You bet.
Thank you, sir. We'll move you back into the queue there. Thanks so much for being willing to open us in prayer this evening.
You bet. Thank you.
You know, God's been putting something on my heart very much as I've been preparing this week. And I want to start. I don't know if he's on the call or not, or if he hears about it. Either way, it doesn't matter. I just want to say that this week I feel that the call of the week goes to R.J. Henders. I had the opportunity to listen to an interview that he did with Tom Chapman from Dominion Services. I have not had the opportunity to talk to Tom. We had Tom scheduled on a previous roundtable, and just logistics didn't work out. But I was struck by something that RJ does, and I didn't get it until this week. RJ spends the time when he has a new guest on his program to get to know the person who's speaking to his audience. And he takes the time to go into a story of allowing the person to tell their story so that you, the listener, get an opportunity to know the authenticity or the background or the sense of the integrity, if you like, or just get a picture, a window into the person who is delivering knowledge. And RJ, I was deeply, deeply impacted by that this week. And, you know, it got me to think about how we treat each other in the Republic. We have expectations of each other in the different offices that we are serving in. We have expectations not only of what each of us should do to be a good servant, whether it be in the executive, legislative, or judicial branch of government, but we then have overlays on that of assuming that each other receives knowledge and receives communication the same way. And I just, RJ, I was just so impressed by that, the way you do that. And once you set that tone of that authenticity with your guest, a whole new level of knowledge flows out of the heart and flows out of a genuine respect and concern for each other. So my kudos go out to you. You get a gold star this week, and maybe it was just my becoming aware of that, something that you do. But I like to commend you as a member of our Republic and for being out there on the airwaves tirelessly for at least the last 2 years, sharing the message of the Republic to all sorts of people on the Internet. May your ministry be blessed and prospered. And I'm going to take a cue from you as we unfold our call. I know that last week what I realized, and maybe you guys hear it as well, I apologize, I'm a quick-minded type of person. So, you know, I grasp concepts and listen to them and then, you know, give feedback about what that was. And I realize we don't all get knowledge so quick. With the new knowledge coming out of the Justice Department, it's just it's a mind melt. It really need a Vulcan mind melt to receive the amount of quality knowledge that's coming from our justices and the research they've done and the cases that they've uncovered and the truths that they've uncovered. So I recognize that in talking with others that I'm not the only one that can only take so much, and then I get like maxed out, and I you know, it's like, hey, I can't, my brain can't take anymore, my experience can't take anymore, and I have to decompress. So if that's true for you, I'm going to hope that we can share with one another in a more person-to-person way as we get to know one another, and then perhaps that will help us with the knowledge that we receive. Jesus always talked in parables, always talked in parables. Great speakers tell you that, you know, it's not a matter of what you're saying to me, it's what's the story you tell me. You can give me facts about 1,001 things, but if you give me a story to hang my hat on with you to make your point, I'll remember it for years to come. All right, so that's my opening thoughts here. I want to talk a little bit about some of the helpful documents that you've received this week. I received an excellent, excellent link to YouTube for Ronald Reagan. His church put together a commemorative birthday for him. When you listen to Ronald Reagan, you'll be in awe. It's like, boy, if he was in the Republic, it would have been awesome. We didn't get the sort of media bites that he speaks out. We didn't get those when he was president and all the time he was president. So it's a really quality 5 minutes to listen to or watch, and I commend you to do so. Wade Butler has sent a link for the Beyond the Pale Horse, and I have not reviewed it yet, but Janine has said that it links to very well to the following one, which is on Agenda 21. So there's a PDF, a long PDF to follow that, and rather than give you the PDF, we've given you the link because it's a large file. All right, and then following from that, the president has spoken repeatedly in the last couple of weeks about preparedness and the need to be prepared for a possible glitch in the road as things just go through a natural process of breakdown. The whole physics of what's going on is impossible to sustain, even if you wished it to be terrific and all on board. So the de facto is coming apart. So the president expects that we will have preparedness issues. So in that regard, we have included a preparedness manual link, which is very helpful. And when you get too much knowledge, I just commend you to go to a helpful link number 5, and it's an inspiration. It is absolutely beautiful music and visuals under the sea, in, I believe, in the sea near Tonga. So that's our contributions and links for you this week. And with that, Janine, I understand we have the president on a guest line. I would like to invite you and welcome you to the call, Mr. President. Good evening.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Janine. We appreciate everyone that's participating in the call tonight. Very excited about being out in the visiting with people of the Republic out in the assembly meetings over the last few weeks, and I've seen more unity and more growth than what you hear and see about on these national calls. I see a lot of good things going on in the Republic, and I'm very encouraged and very thankful that God is moving across this Republic and bringing the people together in unity.
Mr. President, I wonder, before you give us the updates of that, could you give us a flavor of what some of that interaction that you're having, just a few vignettes or stories of some of those experiences you're having that confirms that sense that the unity is really there?
What I'm finding across the nation is more and more people are coming to me and say, you know, we know we've been through some tough times, but we feel encouraged. We are compelled to push this Republic forward because we know that things have been delayed and things have been held up, and we've had a lot of problems delivering things, and it's been real hard to get things done. Some of it was because of the disunity that we've had, and some of it was because we're not quite completed. But the people are not discouraged. You know, I get calls all the time, well, they're discouraged all over the nation. That's not what I'm finding at all. What I'm finding is the people are saying, we are compelled to do this. You know, we want the funding to be here next week, but it's not here, and we're still working on that, and the funding is coming, but it's been extremely slow. And it's been held up by things that we can't do a thing about, but it is coming, and it is God is going to fund this Republic. But because of the delay, some people have gotten upset and walked away, and that's okay. That's just God culling out the sheep and the goats. But the bottom line is that the people are encouraged in spite of the difficulties we've had. But it's like I've tried to tell people, Robert, you know, there's no manual on how to build a government. You know, there isn't one out there that we can go to the library or go to the Library of Congress even and check out and say, this is how we did it. All we can do is go read the research that our founding fathers left for us and the ideas they had, and we have to do it similar to what they did. And that's what we did. We followed their lead. In 2 years, we have re-inhabited a government. That's almost unheard of in just over 2 years. So, you know, we have a government. It is well documented. You know, there are a lot of people saying, well, you did it wrong. Well, I beg to differ. You show me where we did it wrong, and I promise you I can counter that in law, that we didn't do it wrong. We did
Mr.
it right.
Mr. President, even to go from 1776 to the time it took to the Constitutional Convention, to the gathering of the states, and then the time of ratifying that with a Bill of Rights, the journey was years to go through those steps. And
yeah, it was more than 20 years for the Founding Fathers before they ever got off of first base, basically. It was a tough go for them. Many of them suffered immeasurably. The American people today, they like instant everything, fast food and fast everything else, fast government as well, but we're not a fast government. We are an effective government. We are a lawful government, and we have been established properly. There's a lot of bad rumors out there and a lot of bad information about the way we did things, but if you go back and read the history, we did it like the Founding Fathers did. And that's how we have to set it up. There's a lot of disinformation floating around, which we know why that is, because of the de facto agents that are among the Republic that try to cause disinformation. That's constant. But, you know, when you hear these things out there on the Internet and all the foolishness, and on these calls you hear some complaints, but, you know, when you get out and talk to the people, it has amazed me that you don't hear that stuff. You hear how they're working and what they're doing and how they're building and how they're growing. And the states are growing. The people are encouraged. The people are actually moving forward. And it's not about funding. It's not about, but they believe all over this country. They come to me all the time or send me emails all the time or call me on the telephone and say, you know, I am compelled to do this. I don't even understand why I'm doing it. I just know I have to. Because God is gathering his people across this nation to build this government. And that's what he promised me he would do. Because when he first told me to do this, I said, there is no way. It's impossible. And he said, I will bring the people that you need when you need them. And he's doing that. And I see it happening across the country. And it's absolutely awesome. It's amazing to watch that in spite of all the troubles, the people are not discouraged. They're moving forward. That's a great thing to watch. I encourage all of you, if you get a chance to travel some neighboring assemblies, go out there and talk with them. Because you'll be surprised at how most of the states are growing and building, and they're really doing well. We have a few problems. We know that. We've got a few states that are dragging behind, but we're doing well overall. And I'm very thankful Congress is working and doing well. We have a lot of issues being resolved by Congress. Our courts are up and about to be running in a few days in the district court system. And we're already getting cases ready for that. And we're going to bring these cases to a trial by jury. And once we do a trial by jury, there's two things that come into play here. And some of you might want to write this down. We have a strategy, and we do have a plan. We know what we're doing. And I've shared this with some of our people. But if you'll go to Corpus Juris Secundum, CJS, 38A, Chapter 9, if you'll go and look at that, it says very clearly that once the de jure courts are established, the de facto courts no longer exist. That's in their own book. And that's very exciting to me because that's exactly what Congress just did in the last few days. They have established our courts. So to our people, at least for the time being, the de facto courts don't exist. And so we're moving our cases into our courts, and we're using the law to do it. And once a case is examined by a jury, it cannot be re-examined by any court. That's in the Bill of Rights. It can't be re-examined once the jury hears it. And so we're going to bring our people into our courts. We're going to settle these cases that they're dealing with and set the people of this nation free. Now, unfortunately, we've had some charlatans out there that have been charging people money. And some of you know who they are, and not delivering on the goods. Well, those cases that have been tied up in those situations, we have already set up court in Alabama to help those people and do it for no cost. Now, we do know that running the court is about to become a full-time thing, and we can't do that for everybody, but for those that have been hurt and injured by these crooked people that take their money and don't deliver, what we're going to do is we're going to hear their cases for free to help them get over that mess. You know, we're sorry that they were abused by these people, but the fact is that we want to help them. We're out here to help the people, not to take their money or steal from them or abuse them in any way. The Republic wants to help you. And
President,
that's what we're doing with the district court system, is bringing those cases in and hearing those cases. And we're going to have a trial by jury. We're inviting the de facto lawyers and prosecutors, defense and prosecution, in to hear the cases. And we're going to move forward in law and decide the cases and set our people free the way the law is supposed to work. And I'm excited
President
about this because this
President
is a very powerful thing that we're doing here. It's never been done before like this, and it's going to set a lot of people free.
What I'd like you to do is back up a step or two if you can, only because you have a very clear understanding of this, and I want to help folks who are a little behind you. Okay, let's go to Corpus Juris
CJS,
Secundum.
CJS, Corpus Juris Secundum, 38A.
Okay, Chapter 9.
Chapter 9.
Now, from there...
From there, courts. Talks about juries.
We are in the process of doing that, putting those pieces in place. And will you talk about one, putting them in place, what that looks like, and two, the fact that to have any degree of effectiveness, there has to be some way to enforce what they rule on. It seems like we have heard across, and we see across the nation, getting a victory in the arena of foreclosures is very challenging in the court system as it is. And so can you talk a little about the transition? So we're setting up the courts. Will you talk about the transition of once we have our courts set up? And
well, one thing you have to realize that once the Ranger Plan is approved, I'm waiting on the final vote in Congress. The Senate overwhelmingly approved it. Now, I just got the thumbs up. The House has approved it. So the Ranger Plan has passed. So thank God for that, because that is our enforcement. We need that enforcement to operate our courts and protect our people. So now the Ranger Plan that is in will be in full swing soon, and we'll be bringing rangers into our courts to do functions that, that they're supposed to do within the courts. In time, they will be exercising, actually going out and collecting on judgments and different things on, from the people that have caused injury, and those are the things that we'll be working on in the very near future. The courts are going to do their job in as does your courts versus the de facto courts, where the law does not apply. The corporate law does not apply to the law, or the law does not apply to the corporate courts out there in the United States courts. But the courts of the United States of America, however, operate in law, period. So law is going to be upheld 100% of the time in our courts. And our people are going to like the law, because that's all they ever wanted was the truth and the law to be justice in our country. That's all they want is justice. And in upholding the truth in law, we will get justice and our people will be set free. And because of CJS 38A, it's very clear that's in their own law book that once we do this, that they have no more hold on our people. Now, that does not apply to U.S. citizens. People out there that are still U.S. citizens and part of that corporation, our courts have no jurisdiction over them, no more than they have jurisdiction over our people. And so we can't exercise that jurisdiction unless they cross the line and they come into our jurisdiction and violate our people, then we can step in. And we intend to at some point. However, right now we want to work in peace and harmony with these other agencies and groups out here as much as we can, but there is a limit. We will enforce the law, and I've already made that known to the agencies that we will, and I'm preparing another letter to be sent out shortly and explaining all the rules and the regulations and the law about how things have been done in the past and how they're going to have to be done in the future. We're not asking for permission, folks. We're not trying to be too aggressive, but they have asked for the rules, and the FBI Department of Justice has already contacted our Chief Justice and wants to know how to interact with our courts. So they've already pretty much acknowledged our courts. And it's not going to be a perfect thing. It's going to be something we're going to have to work out some of the bugs, I'm sure. But we're moving forward, and it's a great step forward what we're doing here. And you're going to start seeing remedy in our system that's going to transcend into the de facto system. It may take a little time for them to recognize it. And we're going to work and educate them as well. Some of them don't understand, but many of them do. And once we start doing this, we have the law on our side. If we have to, we will go into international criminal court and bring some of the actors, the bad actors I call them, from the corporation into international criminal court if necessary to get justice, because justice has got to come. And
President
that's what
Tim,
we'll
President
be doing
Tim,
with
before
our
we go, before we go international, if I can slow you down a bit, can I take you back now to 2 years ago, before we got up and running in the Republic, you were teaching the secure party creditor process.
Absolutely.
That
yes.
process takes folks out of being U.S. citizens in the corporation. Since
yes,
then,
it does.
Since then, we've transitioned into the Republic, and we have now the Declaration of Sovereign Rights and the Jural Covenant. We have the ASR, and Congress has come out with recent legislation which has another document. So any one of those three is the statement that we each have made who are in the Republic. Is
right.
that, my question is this, is that step enough to say that I have stepped out of the of being a U.S. citizen and I am now in the Republic, as opposed to those who before the Republic came along are secure party creditors and stand outside of the U.S. citizen.
Yeah, it's a much better step than the secured party creditor was, because the secured party creditor pretty much stood on his own. Now he has somewhere to go. Before, he had nothing to be in allegiance with. Now he can come into the Republic. And now not only can he come into the Republic, he can have a judicial document to prove that he is outside the jurisdiction. And that's what this new document does. It's actually recorded in the district courts. I believe that it will be recorded in the district courts in every state. And you will actually have a judge's seal and signature on it showing that this is recorded. And that's a powerful thing in law.
Which document is this, President?
This is the citizenship document that was just passed.
So then all those who are members of the Republic now, are they going to then have to redo their entry documents, if you like?
Just complete this one document. They need to do that because it gives them a judicial record now in a lawful court. So we had authority under the Constitution to do the courts already. It's not something new that we're doing. What we're doing is, in law, the people that actually had the courts before in the original Republic, they're no longer with us. They are gone. They've been dead and gone for years. And you don't have anybody that was in the original Republic. Well, how can we say that we the people today want to do the same thing that we the people did 150 years ago? This is a legal issue that came up in some of our conversations, and I said, that is a valid legal issue, and I think we need to take a stand and try to circumvent some possible problems arising from that, because nobody today that's alive today was in the original Republic. So how do we know that the people today want to do the same things they did before? Well, because we had it legislated. We took it to the legislature and asked them to pass the legislation to show that the people want to do the same thing today that they did before. And now we have the voice of we the people today, current voice of the people. And we have that documented. And so who is the authority in this nation? It's we the people. It is the only authority in this nation is we the people. And once we reestablished that the people today want these courts through their Congress, and they want to do these things through their Congress, then we have the lawful authority we need to move and act.
Excellent. Well, thank you for slowing down a little bit. If you want to proceed now with a vision on an international level, feel free to proceed in that.
Well, internationally, we are being recognized. It's been a very slow process, as you know. We've had some issues. But we are being recognized, and it's not perfect yet. It's not completed yet, but it is coming, and it has been incredibly slow, it seems like to me, to get anything done internationally. But they don't think like we do. Other cultures do not think like Americans. They don't think in fast food terms. They take things very slowly. They don't get excited. Basically, what they tell me when I try to get things moving is that your emergency is not our emergency. That's what I get told. I've heard it put another way.
Your poor planning on your part doesn't necessitate an emergency on my part.
Right. And now we're trying to do the planning and the execution of things that should have been done years ago by our people and our government, and they were not. And so it's got us behind the eight ball. Well, that's the reason we have to work day and night just about to catch up on many of the things that should have been done. Undo some of the things that were done, I guess, is the more appropriate, that the Congress has done to the people of this nation. The Congress of the United States has sold the people out. They absolutely have. And they have no regard for the people of this nation anymore. And so they don't work for us anymore. But the Republic Congress does. They work for we the people. We are the servants of the people. And we are establishing the correct law form and the correct procedures to see justice done again in our nation.
Very good, Mr. President. You have talked this week with great fire on Monday's call, coming into a time of prayer and fasting. Can you recount that for our listeners, and can you talk about some of the specifics you're asking folks to be in prayer for through this time we're in right now?
Yes, we're and I can't be too specific, but we're working on some projects, international projects that are very great projects. And I can say that the Lord has opened doors. Even this week, He's opened some great doors. That was one of the things we have been in fasting and prayer about, is opening certain doors that we've been trying to open for some time that were really, it seemed like they were impenetrable. There are some walls out there internationally that we've been trying to break into, and it's just been very difficult to do. We have a lot of support, but we didn't have all of the support that we needed in certain areas, and those are the things. And I can say that God is breaking those walls. The fast, I don't know how many people fasted the 3 days and prayed, but we had some great time of prayer time. Speaker Lounsbury and his wife Karen and myself and several other people. We had a number down in Oklahoma that did, that fasted with us. We had a group out in California. We had people all over the nation. The call was put out to more than 100,000 people, I was told, to fast and pray for the Republic worldwide, not just here. Some of our prayer groups and ministries put out the call too, and we have quite a few. There's over 100,000 people out there that that regularly pray for the Republic. And God is in the Republic, and He's in charge of the Republic, and He is moving some of the mountains that have been in the way. And it's been an awesome week to watch Him work. And you know, we made some very good contacts this week internationally, and just people calling us. We didn't attempt to call them. They called us out of the blue. We didn't even know these people. And so God has opened doors, and they've heard about the Republic. And they're coming forward. Some very, very powerful people internationally are coming forward and say, we want to help. And it's just an answer to our prayers. And I appreciate everybody that's fasted and prayed the 3 days with us. And we've had some great prayer time. And there's been several miracles happened, and we've seen. And God has really been blessing. We had some healings. A couple of people were healed during our prayers. And I'm thankful that God is still listening, and He's still on the throne, and He is working to help us bring this Republic together. He is in charge, absolutely, no question. And I'm going to ask the lady out in Fresno if she will come on one of our Thursday night calls and speak about what God showed her and about the Republic. And I think that will bless everybody very greatly.
Well, you know, on that same tone, we have a fellow here in Arizona who recently contacted Bill Dobek and myself, was involved. God prompted him about a year ago to check us out. And then just recently, God prompted him very strongly. He's a leader in the Christian community. He's a public speaker. He's really highly involved and influential. And God spoke to him very clearly that now is the time for him to join the Republic. And I was just very excited to hear that. He had specific words into my life as well. And you know, he's involved in cities of refuge and other things. So I'm just like, wow, Lord, as you prune this Republic, as you flush out those who are holding back what you're not trying to do, you are doing in this Republic. It's as if then it's opening a door like a vacuum for these quality people to just come. I'm compelled. I'm supposed to be here. I don't know who you are or what you are, but that's where I'm supposed to be.
That's happening all over the country. I had a meeting last week with a gentleman, and they put a meeting together that I'll be at in a month or so, about 6-8 weeks. I'll be there, and they've got a lot of people that are actually inside the Beltway in Washington that are learning about the Republic, and many of them work there. And all of a sudden, and they're all professional people. They're doctors, they're lawyers, they're judges, they're engineers, there are defense contractors, and there's a couple of hundred of them, I was told, that wants to listen to me speak. And that meeting has been set up, and they're fascinating with the Republic, and they feel compelled to be part of this, is what they're saying. And God is moving through a different dynamic throughout the Republic, and we got some wonderful people. But we've got some extremely intelligent people already in the Republic, but there are many out there that are coming into the Republic that are going to give us a better knowledge base on how to do things that have worked inside the government for many years. and they're disenfranchised with what's going on, and they really want to know more about the Republic, and some of them have already started joining the Republic. And it's been really exciting to talk to these folks, and we're looking forward to that meeting. And those things are happening all over. There are other meetings. There's one of the exciting things is that I'm seeing ministries start to respond to us and call us and talk to us. And some of these have thousands of members, and they're saying God told them to support the Republic. In fact, one of them told me an angel appeared and told them to support the Republic that they didn't even know about it. And then they started saying, one of them called me last week, and it was a great conversation, and told me what God had told them. And that was an interesting conversation, and I would love to get some of them on the phone on this call Thursday night and talk to the people and encourage them, because you know I hear these things, but the people don't get to hear them. I hear it all the time, so it's nothing really new to me. But I get prophets, and they give prophecies over us all the time about what God's going to do with the Republic, and it's come from all over the world. There's probably 7 or 8 different prophets that have prophesied over this Republic and said God is going to restore it in the last year or so. So it's awesome what God is doing. He is preparing the people for the Republic now. And guys, get ready. All you governors out there, get ready to sign people up, because this thing is going to break loose, and you're going to see a tidal wave of people flow into this Republic when it starts. And when God gives the signal, it's going to happen. So just get prepared to handle the people that you're going to have to sign up, because it's going to be a great day when that starts.
You know, President Tim, you're absolutely correct. And the truth is, for all of us, we are servants of the Most High God. We are called to labor in His field. It's His vineyard. It is. We're called to make disciples of all nations. And what more wonderful calling than to do that through the Republic. At the same time, the Republic, we are a very small cog in His big wheel. And I would like you to, and what I'm, the sense I'm getting as these other individuals and other groups who are also influential are being drawn to the Republic, is the fact that I have a sense that God's actually drawing to us pieces that we may have sketched out. Like one area I'd like you to talk about is the refuge cities. That there's people out there already who have had that. God's had that on their heart for years. And they're already out there doing it and putting those pieces together. And the moment will come where He just says, okay, here they are. And boom, the pieces that He already has been sowing under the surface of our radar are showing up. So I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit in terms of what your vision is about refuge cities and where you see that going.
I believe that America has some real difficult issues coming. I believe we're going to see some real tough times. This is something God placed on my heart many years ago. We don't know all the details. He never shows us but just a few steps ahead. But I know we've got hard times coming. The Lord has prompted not just myself, but thousands, literally thousands of people in this country to prepare. Many of them didn't know what to do. They just started doing what they could because of our limited resources and limited abilities. But God is bringing these people together across the nation. I actually just had an email exchange with one of our Amish brothers today, yesterday and today, about how that the Amish people are willing to train us on how to live off the grid.
Sweet.
And that's an important thing. I think it could be, they've done it all their lives. They know how. And they're willing to share with us the information to help us do it if we like. We're looking for properties. Do have some people have agreed to come forward and help us finance some cities of refuge. We hope that we can get started on that. But right now what we're trying to do is we're trying to determine where those cities should be, because we want God to pick where they're going to be, not us. We might pick the wrong place. But what He shared with me, and many, many other people are saying the same thing that God has shared with them, is that these cities of refuge are going to be divinely protected during that time. And I believe that's true. I absolutely believe it's true. And so we need to make sure that we pick the places that God wants and not just where we want to be. Because He has areas that He has divinely protected. In fact, the funders have a list of 12 cities that they were shown years ago, probably 20 years ago, that should be cities of refuge in America. And they actually are supposed to send me that list any day now and show me where those are supposed to be. And they're very specific. In fact, some of the cities, it's not the entire city, it's only one side of the city that's going to be protected. And that's how precise that God, the instructions God gave them are. And they're going to share that with us. We also have some other friends that God has been giving them dreams and visions about the cities of refuge. They've been communicating with me some, and they're coming up with areas that God is showing them as well. So God is working on this project. Now, I'm anxious to get started and wish I could, but it takes a lot of money, and I don't have a lot of money, so we just have to do what we can. But that's what the Lord impressed me to do. He said, do what you can today. You know, we all kind of got in this waiting on a funding thing here last year, a year or so ago. We were told that the funding was imminent, it'd be happening at any time, and that's what we were told, and I believed it, and I talked about it, and it caused a lot of problems in the Republic when I did. But I told people what I was told, and some of the things that I told people didn't work out. And I'll be the first to admit that. It didn't go the way we were told it was going to go. And we certainly thought it would and hoped it would, but it didn't. But it's still going to happen. But the problem is it didn't happen when we thought it was going to. So we all kind of got this wait-and-see mode about, you know, well, we'll wait on the funding there for a little while. And then after a few weeks of sitting around waiting on funding, the Lord, when I was in prayer, he said, you need to get started. I said, well, I don't have anything to start with. He said, you can do what you can do. He said, do what you can today. Don't worry about the funding. Just get started. And, you know, it's amazed me that when we started, there were things that we couldn't do. But when we started, God made it possible. He would send people that would donate this or donate that or help us. It might be an office machine we needed, but somebody would bring it by and say, hey, I had a guy brought me for our office. A guy donated me $30,000 worth of professional copiers when I needed a copy machine. He just donated them to us. He said, the Lord said, give you this. And he came and even came and set it up for us.
Yeah.
And these are the kind of things God has done because we took the step of faith without much to step with, and we did what we could do, and then he met the need. And that's what I'm trying to encourage everybody to do. We all want funding, and we all need funding, and funding will come when God says it will come, and I can't make that happen any faster. I have, as I said many times, I think God needs to get a new watch battery, but he's on time all the time, and it just seems like to us it takes forever, but into him it's just a microcosm of time. So we just have to be patient until he moves, because we can't move until he does. And but the things that we can do, you know, I had a lady the other day, she said, well, I have very little money, she said, but I feel very strongly compelled to start working for preparation for the cities of refuge. And she said, but I don't know what to do. I said, do you have $5? She said, oh, yeah, I've got $5. I said, go down and buy some heirloom seeds. And so she called me back. She said, I went and bought some heirloom seeds. She said, spent a little more than $5, though. But she said, I did buy some, and that's a start. And she said, next week I'll buy some more. And she did what she could do. Now, she didn't do everything that she wants on her grand plan, but she made the first step. And I can tell you, because she made that step, God will provide other things that she needs. And he'll do that for us. I have seen it. I have lived it. I've experienced it. And many of our people that are with us have experienced the same thing, that when we took the step of faith, we might could only take a small step, but God made a giant leap out of it. And that's what he will do. And he's depending on us to take that step of faith. So the cities of refuge, we're putting it together, and it is going to come together. And it has been painfully slow, it seems like, to get the funding. But God is going to meet the need. And we have to take the steps. And what I'm encouraging people to do, if we can get these financiers to come on board, like they've said, and finance some of the cities of refuge, we want the people to come together in groups and families, like 40 or 50 families on one place, and start preparing for our people. And if you take 40 or 50 people, it doesn't take much from each individual to keep things going. And we need people to come together that have certain skills and abilities. If you got a farmer, how about a cattleman? How about a butcher? How about somebody that can run a kitchen? What about somebody that can build? What about somebody that does heavy equipment work? You know, these are the things that we need. We need people to come together. We need all people from all walks of life. We need doctors. I had a doctor call me the other day and offered their services. They're still working out in the de facto world, but they said they love the Republic and they want to support the Republic. And they're almost at retirement age, and they're wanting to come into the Republic now and help us with medical needs and set up clinics. These are the kind of things God is providing for us, and we need to move forward and do what we can today. Don't wait for tomorrow. You can do something today. You can find something to do. If nothing else, you can pray for God to show us where the cities of refuge are going to be. That's a big thing. And I encourage the people to continue to help us. And God is showing. He is showing us. And we will be doing some more fasting and prayer, I can tell you. We're going to be. I'll promise you that. Because that's where we get our answers. And that's when God moves and does things for us. He opens doors for us during those times of fasting and prayer. And this last session of fasting and prayer really opened some great doors. And I'm very thankful to God for that. And thank you for all the people that helped and worked with us to try to make that happen. Well, Robert, I can talk for a long time. But we've got other people, I'm sure.
I got one more thing or a couple of things here to say. One is, as Gregory from the family of Johnson out of Colorado would say, hallelujah.
Amen.
And my second comment is this: you are doing the next right thing that you can do for the Republic, and you are on the presidential State of the Union tour. Will you talk a little bit about we're getting ready for you to host you here in Phoenix next weekend? Those folks who are considering, who are out there pondering, well, what am I called to do? You're in New Mexico this weekend.
We'll be in Albuquerque Saturday for a meeting on Saturday in Albuquerque for the assembly meeting there, and we'll be showing the people the documents that we've got filed at the World Court and at the UPU, and show them exactly. They'll get to finally see the infamous Declaration of Sovereign Intent that they've not been able to see. And we look forward to that. And every group that we've been to have just been amazed at what's been done in the Republic. We have not been sitting around. We've been working hard, and you can see by the material that we're going to present that we've been working. We have not been sitting and talking. We've been actually doing. And so it's very interesting to watch the reaction of the people. They have been very pleased everywhere we went and shown the books that we have and the information that we have.
So is there a contact phone number or email, Janine, for who to contact in New Mexico for where the Albuquerque location will be?
Yes, Robert. I did attach that to this evening's email. There's a whole three-page document of when and where.
Well, I know you did, but we also had technical difficulties this week.
We did have some technical difficulties.
If you could give it verbally, I'd appreciate that.
And you're going to make me go find it.
Well, while you do that...
Well, if I could just for just a moment, I want to make sure. I know the president has an announcement that he needs to make for next Thursday morning. And while you're doing that, I'll go hunt down that information.
Okay.
Yes, next Thursday morning from 8 a.m. Central Time till noon, we're going to be doing a court training call for the district court system. So anybody that's interested, you're welcome to attend the call. We'll put out the information by the first of the week on the location of the call and all the information. We'll also be putting out an outline and a small study guide for you that shows you how the structure of the court works, about due process, and about the things that how the juries and the grand juries and what they do and how they function, because there seems to be a lot of confusion out here about how all that works. And this little small guide, it's just a few pages long, will guide you through the process, and that will be made available to everybody that's on the call. And anyone else that wants it, I'm sure we'll post it somewhere where you can get that. But it's good information. It's a short course. But when you get through with this one short course, you'll understand how the courts work, and it's going to be a very powerful. It'll be on the judicial website also. So be looking for it, and I look forward to I'll be teaching the class on next Thursday morning.
Very good.
Thank you.
And so is there a call number that you or someone would like to give out on this call?
Robert, I'll go ahead and give the call information. Oh, you know what? They don't have it on their flyer yet. I'll be sending the email out. I just don't have it at the moment.
Okay.
Yep. And the information for Albuquerque's meeting, the three-page flyer did not have contact information. So, Rick Weiner, I'm about to throw you under the bus.
He said it was okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Watch those double tires, Rick.
Because I'll back up and go over you again. But he's been using his Weiner at Advantis, and it's W-I-N-E-R, at Advantis, A-D-V-A-N-T-A-S, .net. If you want information about the meeting in Albuquerque, it's going to be Saturday the 23rd from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and it's going to be at the University of New Mexico Student Union Building, also known as SUB.
Cool. And we will be there, and we'll be sharing with you updates on what's going on in the Republic, stuff we can't talk about in public. We can share in a private setting. We will not allow any recordings or videos or anything on this meeting because of the sensitive nature, but we do want the people to be brought up to date as much as possible on the information that we can share. We just don't want it out on the blog spots and on the Internet all over the place. So there is going to be some security protocols, and we'll explain those to you when you get there. But we welcome everyone to come. Everybody that's a member of the Republic will get to see the books and the presentations that we've made to the world, and I think you'll really be excited about what's really going on in the Republic. And everybody so far has been very pleased and very excited. So I'll be glad to share it with the folks in Albuquerque. Got some good friends in the area, and I look forward to visiting with them as well.
Well, Mr. President, I have really indulged your time this evening. I see we've been at it for close on 50 minutes. So I'm going to move along, if I may, to the legislature to get an update from Mark Lounsbery, and perhaps he can embellish on the documentation that you referred to earlier in our conversation. So I have one other thing I want to say here, and that is we're very much looking forward to you arriving in Phoenix next week. And Jim Fitzgerald and Hal Epperson have requested that any of you listening who are coming from other states, if you would send an RSVP that you are coming to either Jim Fitzgerald or Hal Epperson, that they need an RSVP so we know that the size of the location we have will handle the number of people. So that would be appreciated if you're being prompted to come.
And Robert, would you mind giving an email address for them to send
that
RSVP?
You're
going to
throw me under the bus now,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Because that's how it works, my friend.
It does. All right. Jim Fitzgerald is J. Fitzgerald, the number 7, at cox.net. J. F-I-T-Z. G-E-R-A-L-D. 7, at cox.net. Or Hal Epperson is hal.epperson, E-P-P-E-R-S-O-N, at A-Team. That's A, spelled out team, T-E-A-M.net. Got nothing to do with that big black guy with that big old bling bling around his chest. I forget what his name is.
Mr. T.
Mr. T, thank you. All right, so thank you, sir. If you would be available later for questions, we've really kind of gone a long way in this first segment here. So.
Yes, I will, Robert. I'll be available for questions. I'll just be listening, and I appreciate everybody's time tonight. I took a little more time than I normally do, but we have a lot of other folks that probably want to speak and share things, so I'll stand by and listen for questions when you're ready.
Thank you, sir. With that, I'd like to invite you. I believe we have Mark Lounsbery on the line. I saw you earlier. So, sir, if you're there, good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate this opportunity to give an update on what's happening in Congress. Just like the president was sharing earlier, the Congress isn't sitting still waiting for funding. Congress is doing what they need to do to place this republic lawfully in the grips of taking over as that lawful government and being able to lawfully prepare for whatever steps the Lord puts us through, even though we don't know what those are at the current time. Just to let you know, there's been 18 pieces of legislation that have been passed by Congress in this last year. 15 of those in the last 6 months. And just recently, we had the American Securities Act passed. In fact, just prior to this call starting, the American Securities Act passed. So the Ranger program will be starting. We had the Republic du Jour Money Act pass. And so we have begun the task of creating Republic money. We've begun that task to prepare for the time when we will be able to have our own money supply system that is not in based upon that fiat system, but is lawfully based, that is based
on
legislation.
Speaker Lounsbury, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. You have just, the last couple of weeks, you've had a really odd thing going on with your phone, and your voice is all distorted and stuff. Is it possible
okay.
You have a speaker or something, or something's goofy with it?
Robert, I'm actually hearing him fine.
Try that.
Okay.
Is that better?
Let's try that, yes.
Okay. So just to let you know, we have the, I don't know if you heard, the American Security Act passed, so the Ranger program will be beginning. We have the Republic du Jour Money Act passed. The Equal Footing Act has passed, so we brought the court systems in along with the, all the states on equal footing. Even though they have not got all their government representatives in place, we've acknowledged that all 50 states are part of the union on equal footing. And so we'll be encouraging each of those states to get their governors and representatives and senators and courts and all that stuff in place. So the Congress has been very busy. There's more acts coming down the road here. I know we've got one more Money Creation Act that was introduced this last week, and we'll be going to vote next week. We've got some additional acts that are scheduled as well.
Wow, so, this is very exciting, very exciting. Do you want to talk a little bit about the ones that passed this week for those who have not reviewed them? Thumbnail
sure.
sketch or something? Of
Go sure.
Ahead.
The Equal Footing Act is an act that brings all, like I said earlier, an act that brings all 50 states or acknowledges that all 50 states are part of the de jure union. Because some of those states that came in early on during the de jure period came in under the understanding that they were in the de jure republic, but those that came in later came in under the corporation. And so what we're doing is just positively acknowledging that all 50 states, even though some came in after the corporation had taken over, that they all are coming in on equal footing into the de jure, because that was what their expectation was, even though the de jure had been usurped. So we're positively stating that, positively acknowledging that, and enabling, just as the president shared earlier, enabling us in 2012 now, 2010, 11, 12 now, to positively state through legislation, through the voice of the people in Congress, that the direction that we're going is the same direction as the de jure republic and our founding fathers had set out the course for us. So that's that act. The American Securities Act deals with enabling American Ranger program to be set up. It's a peacekeeping force that will enable us to protect the people related to court issues, related to any issue that a show of security is needed. And again, that force is not a police force. It's not a military force. It's just a peacekeeping force. It's a security force to secure the rights of the people. And that's why Congress passed that act. I think additionally, we have states that are passing state security acts as well. And we'll be developing state ranger programs. So that passed today.
Wow.
The
That's huge. I mean, just pause on that a minute. That's huge. That's now starting us to mobilize some degree of, in fact, a huge potential for enforcing our law system. That's powerful.
Yes, when the corporation and even those that are in law enforcement now begin to see the lawful status that we are developing for not only the people but their security and all of the laws that we're putting into place, and as recognition comes at the same time simultaneously, even those in the corporation are going to begin to see and begin to, I believe, back off. They're going to begin to understand that we are doing what is lawful, and some of those are going to jump ship. Now, we all probably will have some problems and we'll have some troubles, but nevertheless, the Lord is providing, and we are taking those steps that we can take, and these are steps that we can take right now. Now we're going to trust that the Lord provides the funding to actually begin implementing that, because it does take some funds to begin to implement that, and I believe the Lord will. We've taken these steps of faith, and the Lord will continue it.
Wow. Janine just asked me to ask you if you mentioned the seal.
Yes, the Great Seal Act did pass. I think that was last week. And so there is a new Great Seal that will begin to be implemented. It may take a little bit of time to get it set up, but on letterhead that comes out and new pieces of legislation, websites, and documents that actually need a crimped type seal for the Secretary of State and the President, there is a new Great Seal that was developed specifically for this re-inhabited republic.
So it's different from the seal that we have so far, or the emblem that we've been using so far, if that's not the right word to call it a seal?
Yes, the emblem that we were using so far was just picked, but this one has been actually legislated by Congress, and so we were using that temporarily until we could come up with a Great Seal. And so now that the Great Seal is in place, they will begin implementing that.
So folks can see that at republiccongress.org?
Yes. Republiccongress.org has all of the legislation, both current and past legislation. They can go to the public tab and then click on one of those tabs, either current legislation or past legislation. And they'll be able to go in and see the actual acts that were passed, including the artwork that was drawn up for the Great Seal. Again, the Great Seal, the actual act was relative to the blazon itself. And so the artwork that you see falls within the act's parameters. That seal may possibly change down the road artwork-wise, but for right now, that's, I think, the artwork they're going to use. But that artwork can be changed and still stay within the parameters of the act.
I just pulled it up. It looks very cool. Very, very cool. So you have no stars in it.
And no stars.
No stars. Okay. And any reasoning behind that?
Well, there was lots of discussion and reasoning behind that. It's difficult to put a lot of stars on a little tiny seal, especially when the seal is used for a lot of purposes where it's, you know, ends up being a 1 inch in diameter or 2 inches or even less in diameter, and so it would make it very difficult for all those stars. It'd just be very busy and make it difficult to see. So that
okay.
had to be taken into consideration.
Awesome. Just congratulations to you guys. I am repeatedly impressed with the amount of quality work that's coming out of our Congress. And it's not just... You know, what I'm astounded by is the fact that you are all getting together, that you are reasoning together, having alternative points of view, and coming out with so many pieces together. I mean, it's Mark, congratulations to you with your leadership and also to the pro tem of the Senate. Excellent, excellent job.
Well, the people can be definitely proud of their Congress, and you're absolutely right. There are various points of view being shared. some that disagree with the legislation. We've had some no votes for the legislation. But for the most part, once everything's shared and they take the vote, we've had very, very strong support for all of the legislation. It's all been an overwhelming majority that votes for the legislation, which gives me an indication that we're on the right track. We're doing the right thing.
Tell me, is Leviticus 25:10 the actual phrase that's around the back of the seal?
Leviticus, it does not give the whole verse, but it does give the reference.
Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants.
Right.
Sweet. Very good. I'm excited. I'm very excited. What else do you have for us? What else do you want the body politic to know about?
Just to continue to pray for your congresspeople as they put in a lot of hard hours. If you want information to get to Congress or you want information from Congress, find out who your local representatives and senators are and contact them. Get them in the loop. So rather than coming to myself or the president or someone at the national level and trying to get the information from there, it works best if you go through your people, and that gets them involved, gets them plugged in, makes them be able to express what's happening and what's going on. And so it just plugs them in better that way. So contact your local representatives and senators, and that's part of that diligence. That as a self-governing nation, that's part of that diligence that's going to have to be ongoing for years to come. The people have to plug in and participate with their representation. And so I'm going to encourage that from the outset here to get involved with your local representation.
Okay, very good. Excellent. All right, so what do you have in the hopper here that's pivotal for where we're moving forward to for the coming weeks? Because you have outlined today marker points. I mean, these are huge marker points to have a money act passed that allows us to create money, and to have the Ranger peacekeeping pieces in place. You're just moving us forward in leaps and bounds with those two things on the backs of the rest of what you put together this year.
Right. The president mentioned, and I think you talked about the certificate of citizenship documentation. And again,
yes.
just to clarify what that is, it is documenting citizenship status within the republic, and it allows anybody who can show citizenship status in the corporate U.S. To be able to come over and document their citizenship status within the republic, stating that they are under the de jure jurisdiction and not under the corporate jurisdiction. And it then goes to the court system where you take an oath, just like they did in the early days where they went before a court and took an oath to become a citizen. And it's important for us, I think, to do that, especially during this time when we still have that dual jurisdiction out there, at least from the perception standpoint, even though we are the only lawful government. Perception-wise, that's not the case, and power-wise, that's not the case. So it's important for us to be able to go through and document that citizenship status. And even those that have already filled out their DSRs and so forth, they're going to want to go and fill out this citizenship status so that they have a court record, court document that verifies and documents their citizenship within the republic. There's going to be a very important reasons, I believe, down the road why that will be necessary. There's two parts of that process, and so it's slowly being implemented. The first part is to verify that someone is a current citizen of the corporate U.S. or is shown to be natural born if they don't have U.S. citizenship. And that will be through a naturalization officer, which are being set up. I believe the director of naturalization just accepted that position this week, in the last couple of days. And so that will be beginning to be implemented. Certification for naturalization officers will begin all throughout the states They'll be able, just like a notary, they'll be able to get certified as a naturalization officer that can sign off on that for people, and then they'll be able to go before a court of record within the Republic, district court, state court, be able to take that oath and finish up that documentation, get it stamped and recorded within our court system.
So Speaker Lounsbury, for those who are current existing members in the Republic, is that a process that each one of those, each one of us are going to go through as well? And is it a requirement?
Yes. Well, it's going to be a requirement if you want to document your citizenship. Otherwise, we don't have a way of documenting. If you want it documented on record and you want to be documented for your citizenship, then yes, you will have to do that.
Is there a time frame that you're looking to implement that? Because, is there a time frame that you're looking to have that apply?
Well, it as soon as we get the procedures and the people in place to be able to implement that, they'll be able to begin that process. There is no at this point, we set no time limit where you have to have it done by a certain time or anything like that. We just believe that people will want to do it and that it will the benefits of having documented citizenship will become very apparent, and it will become hopefully not a stampede, but down the road it may end up, and Congress may have to come back to the table and streamline certain things in order to enable a large quantity of people coming in quickly. But nevertheless, we'll have to deal with that when the time comes.
Well, our next guest will be from the Justice Department, so I'm sure that Judiciary will have a say on how that paperwork will be necessary in some of the resolutions and the remedies that are being designed across, you know, dealing with foreclosures and dealing with legal issues and dealing with cases that are existing now. What is the method that folks who have a legal need, maybe I should bring in Nathan as well, but what is going to be your implementation method for folks who need that record in place sooner rather than later? Or is there DSR or ASR sufficient at this point?
Well, it is sufficient for some things, and it'll just be better as we move along, and it will be probably required by certain processes down the road that become available, which aren't available at this point in time. But many of the processes that remedies or resolution processes that come out may require a certificate of citizenship documentation in order to go through that process. So, but I will say that the process is going to start very quickly. We've got the naturalization directors in place, and I believe probably, you know, within a week or two, within a few weeks, maybe a month at the longest, you'll begin to see quite a few courts ready to process and naturalization officers all over the states, and it'll be by the middle of July, I would say, it'll be going strong.
So then one final question would be, who in our respective states should we be looking to, or what is the relationship between what Congress has implemented and what's going to happen at a state level? What is the governor going to appoint it? Is it something that's going to be an elected office? Is it going to be something that's run by national, or does the governor implement it in his state?
No, it won't be run by national. It will be overseen as far as the certification process by national. But anybody that wants to become a naturalization officer can be. I would suggest that the individual states, governors, and especially those who've already been in the process of doing the signing up of people, and those that are already out there doing that sort of ambassador type work, would be a prime target to get them certified as naturalization officers. but they can pick and choose how they are going to do that in their individual state. If they want to limit it to, you know, who can do it, if they want to create some strategy for setting up naturalization offices or people, they can certainly do that. The only thing that the nation is going to do is oversee the actual certification and then the process by which those naturalization officers actually sign off and what they have to actually look for before they sign off. And other than that, that's about it.
If folks who have that qualification, who are actually doing ambassador type things now, are holding a hat as a legislator or in the judiciary or in the executive branch, is there a conflict of interest if they are to be a naturalization officer? Is there any restrictions on dual hats?
I don't believe that a legislator under the Constitution can hold another office in the Republic. There may be some other types of offices that can constitutionally, but legislative wise, they wouldn't be able to hold a naturalization office and be in the Congress at the same time. The other thing I wanted to mention was we are going to be, as part of the legislation, they are going to be setting up a website that enables the development or the entry of people that have an intent to document their citizenship. So they can input all that information, put them in the queue, feed them to the individual states or areas that and send that contact information back and forth. It's just a way to help streamline a lot of people coming in and getting them into the queue. And pointing them in the right directions to who the naturalization officers are and where and so forth. So that will be being developed over the next few weeks as well, so that people will have a place to go to. It'll be a special website that they can go to that will enable them to get themselves in the queue and in the process.
Very good. Very, very good. Well, thank you, sir. I'm delighted to have the updates and have you join us on the call. Would you be available if there's question and answers for you a little later?
Sure.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to move on to the judiciary with Chief Justice Nathan Peachey. Chief Justice Peachey, we started the process of education last week, and we did not allow folks to answer questions because we were already, I think, 2.5 or 2.75 hours into the call. So, Janine, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to also start Q&A and bring on our Chief Justice with his opening comments and to give us an update of where things are with the judiciary. Good evening, Nathan. Welcome to the call. Did we lose you? Or are you unmuted? Unmuted.
Robert, I'll look.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Sorry.
Here's elevator music.
No, stop that.
All right.
I had him unmuted once, and I got to find him again.
While you do that, I am going to take
here
one of
go.
The...
Here we go.
Oh, all right.
Can you all hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, good evening.
My elevator music wasn't very good anyway. Good evening.
Yeah, that's fine. We did cover a lot of the, the difference between statutory and common law last week and the basis for it. There's a few things that we didn't cover, and we certainly did not cover any questions. So mostly this evening, we'll be here to answer any questions. On that, I did hear President Turner mention the fact that they're going to be starting some training on the courts, which is good. And as far as where we are at with the judiciary right now, we're still waiting on working on the website. We've got programmer Justice Rios actually is in charge of the website in his spare time, which is it's not full time. It's just in his spare time he gets to work on it. So it takes a little bit longer than what we would like it to take. But there's a lot of work that has went into the website, as most of you are aware. And the way we're going to be unfolding this website is it is a work in progress. But as the judges or the justices from the district courts make themselves known and available and provide the documentation, their oaths of office, and their appointment letter from President Turner, then these will be put on the into the records, and their name and address and information and their clerk of court will be put on the proper section on their state. And that means when, you know, there's a judge listed on a specific district, then that judge is ready to do business. You know, the clerk is ready to take cases or provide, if they do a statutory grand jury regarding a de facto issue, then they'll be in business. But if that state is empty, then you need to ask the president or notify the president or Congress or whoever is in charge of that. President is in charge of actually appointing the judges and make sure that that we get the information so that the web programmer can actually put that judge onto the website and make himself available. So that's how we're going to be proceeding with this. We have a number of judges. We have got their information, but some of it needs to be updated. There's been some changes made in some of the states, so we really need to just start from scratch and build this and get them all in place. So make yourselves known, judges out there. Provide us with the appointment letter from President Turner and the oath. If you haven't an oath yet, you need to contact us. We'll be willing to swear you in into office and provide you with the written record of the oath and help you with the seal and the couple of the tools that you'll need to be in business. So that's about where we're at with the judiciary right now. We are wanting the states, some of them, to get their grand juries, to get them activated, and there's issues in some of the states, especially with de facto problems, that that they should be starting to do the grand jury actions and hearings, because we have people that will have agreed to take these cases and assist us with the prosecution of these cases if they are de facto people. Because if they're de facto people, then we wouldn't really have jurisdiction. But there's certain de facto agencies that have agreed and will actually take those grand jury actions if they're done properly, and which they will be if you follow protocol, the statutory protocols, and we'll take them to the attorney generals and do what they need to do. So that's kind of where we're at with the judiciary. So I'll be here to answer any questions, Robert.
Very good, Chief Justice Peachy. I'd like to unmute for comment as well any of the other Chief Justices on the call so that the questions you can all feel free to make a response to. If Justice Schaefer is on the line or Justice Gorla or Justice Jay Jones, I'm sure there's another one, but I forget who it is. I apologize.
It's Rick Rios and Harold Reed.
Oh, yeah, okay. Rick Rios or Harold Reed. If any of you... You gentlemen are on. Janine, do you know their numbers? I'm sorry.
Robert, I'm looking for them now. It seems like everyone came in on the participant code tonight, and it's making it difficult to find everyone. So bear with me, and I'll go hunt
All right.
them down.
Well, I'm going to then unmute the first caller in the queue here. No, in fact, before I unmute you, I have one question that came in the queue here that I'd like you, for everyone, if you would please get a pen and paper. I'm not going to necessarily answer it, but maybe one of you want to. We got this question from a fellow who represents 10,000 other family and friends, tens of thousands, families and friends. And this is his question to all of us. Dear Republic, we are all eagerly awaiting your coming out as the real government of our USA. Have you discovered who the real enemy is per Christ. He references John 8, verse 44, and Genesis 3:15, and their chosen name. He refers to Revelations 2 and Revelations 3, verse 9, as the rest of us have. Let us know, okay? Thanks. His name is Charles, and family, and tens of thousands of friends and fellow laborers, ICA, in Christ, amen. He references Isaiah 54:17 and 2 Kings 6:16-18. So if you had a pen and paper, if you would reference those and answer his question, either on this call this week or next week. All right, our first caller in the queue, Janine, is Robert Urquhart. Good evening, Robert.
Good evening, everyone. My question is the age-old one about ID cards and passports. With the new immigration law in place, it seems like we're ready to finally get the IDs and the passports. Would anyone care to comment, please?
This is Speaker Lounsbury.
We do have
legislation that has been worked on regarding the IDs, and I believe they will begin picking that up again because they had begun the legislation for the American Securities Act and been spending time on that, getting that passed, because that was going to be a prerequisite for the IDs being able to be used. So there are several prerequisites for the IDs to be lawfully used. When we first came out with those, we were unaware, perhaps, of some of the pitfalls that we may have run into, and we found what some of those were, and so now we're making sure that a lot of the prerequisites are in place. One of those is the Ranger Program, which now has come into play, the citizenship documentation status. There will be probably some other acknowledgement or world recognition issues that will be being addressed very shortly. But yes, they will begin working on that legislation, and when the time is appropriate, it will be brought before Congress and then passed, and then they'll be able to begin implementing that. I think they're, just to give you a heads up, the preliminary legislation that I received from the committee was limiting at the national level the documents to passports and sort of an international travel document, and that the state IDs would be done at the state level. So those kind of issues will be worked out, but that was the current direction that the committee was looking at going. And but as soon as they get back on that, we'll get a more clear picture of what that legislation is going to look like, and then it'll be posted, and everybody will be able to look at it and give feedback.
Great, thank you. My next request is that someone sent out an email regarding additional information of how to get the naturalization process, who to contact. Is it going to be on a website, or is it going to be a person to contact, both for the immigration itself or the citizenship document and the naturalization officers, the process involved in becoming one?
Yes, that will be posted on the website. We'll probably post it on the congressional website, republiccongress.org. We'll also post it and make an announcement in Congress. We'll post it on the Republic of the United States website. And once things are ready to be announced, there will be probably emails being sent out, as well as other announcements on these calls, the roundtable call, the Monday night call, congressional calls, and so forth. We will try to do our best to get the word out for both how to become a naturalization officer as well as how to get in the queue for documenting your citizenship.
And my final question is regarding the presidential tour. Do we have an itinerary and any dates or ranges of dates in which we can expect the president to be at different parts of the country?
Well, the part that's available so far, Bob, was included in the mailing this week. And I apologize. Janine has had computer difficulties on the email. So if you normally get an email for the roundtable and didn't, would you please send us a quick email to questions and just put in the header missed notice this week or something like that, and we'll get that back to you.
Well, I have the notice for this for the Arizona one.
And New Mexico?
But right. I'm looking at the ones in the future. For example, we don't know what time he's going to be hitting the East Coast.
The president's on. He can answer the question.
Yes, Bob. What I would like to my schedule is tentative. It's not nailed down yet. I plan to the second to the third week of July. I plan to be in Colorado, and then from there I'll be going to California, Portland, Oregon, Wyoming, Chicago, and Wisconsin, and then we'll be over your way after that. So we're looking at September sometime.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
And I will give you plenty of notice ahead of time. I have some court hearings coming up, and that's what I can't give you an exact date because of that. Once I get that, I can set my schedule, but for now I don't have that court date that I've got to attend. So I've got a schedule around that, and it's kind of been difficult to set things until I get that date, which I should have. Hopefully I'll have in the next week.
Thank you. I yield.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you. Robert, I'm going to put the 3-minute timer on because we are over our time already. So just so everyone knows, I'm going to put the 3-minute timer on the questions.
Thank you very much. Alice Gustin, you're next up in line. Good evening.
You must recognize a phone number, Robert, because I don't have it there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Alice, you're unmuted now. 307-851. Good evening.
This is not Alice. This is Melvin.
Good evening.
Period. Gustin, period. Justice, period, at gmail.com. I'm the national justice for the state of Wyoming.
All right. Good evening,
sir. The phone is listed under Alice, but my question is that Alice and I have already filed documentation of our sovereignty in court already, and all the way to The Hague, all the way to Belgium with the postal union. Is that going to be valid, or do we have to go through the Republic?
Good question. Speaker Lounsbury or Nathan Peachey or Mr. President, who would like to weigh in on
that? Yeah, this is Speaker Lounsbury. You can declare sovereign status, and you can make yourself into that status, but it still doesn't place you in citizenship status with the Republic. It doesn't document your citizenship status. So if you don't want to be a citizen within the Republic, then you can stay there and just be a sovereign on the land. But if you want citizenship status, if you want to be a part of the Republic, then you will have to file the citizenship document.
Well, I've already signed up for the Republic with all the other documentation already, and I'm very active here in Wyoming and always have been.
Again, if you want to document your citizenship in the court, in the Republic courts, and have that documented citizenship status, then you'll want to go through and take that oath and fill out that paperwork.
Yeah, I guess I would have to do that as being a national chief justice, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
You figure that out.
We're growing. We're growing, and awesome. Very good. Anything else you'd like to comment on, sir?
No, I just gave you my email address.
What we'll be doing, just for your reference, is the website is going to be a very important tool that we're going to be using to communicate with you judges out there, the district courts and the common law justices as well. We will be providing you with an email address, an official email address, so you can be communicating through the website portal. But that's going to be done very shortly. I know Rick Rios is working on that. We just discussed about that last night. So just hang on just a few more days or maybe a week or so till all of that is in order, Judge, and then you'll be notify us with the proper documentation so that we can post the records and have you listed on the website with the your official email address for the court.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, sir. When you gave us your email address, are you not on an email list now? Do you get the notices? What are you saying by that? I guess I'm not clear on that communication.
I don't think there is an email address or an email list for the judges, Robert. We've been very much lacking in that. That's why we've been trying to get the website operative.
I realize that, but Mr. Gustin is talking about giving us his email, and I'm wondering, are you in the loop in the Republic to get notices from the Republic? Or were you giving us your email because you don't think we have it? That was my question.
You don't have it.
Who doesn't? We don't have it? Very good. So would you please give it to me again?
Okay, it's capital M, Melvin, period, capital G, Gustin, G-U-S-T-I-N, period, justice, capital J, at gmail.com.
Okay, I've got it. I will include you in the Republic Roundtable list.
I've had a lot of experience in the court system.
I will forward that over to Chief Justice Nathan Peachey.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, good evening. Our next caller on my list, Janine, is 402-932.
Perfect.
We're back in sync?
We're back in sync. There we go.
Good evening, caller.
Good evening. This is Terry Dredla, Treasurer for Nebraska.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. My question is, I guess maybe for Speaker Lounsbury. As we bring the 14th Amendment de facto citizens into the Republic and document their citizenship, how does that affect their Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that they're currently receiving from the de facto?
It shouldn't affect it at all. Those payments that they're receiving are based upon a contract that they have had with the de facto, and they should have no problem receiving that. Now, if the de facto begins to fail, those they may have some struggles in getting those, but we are hopefully going to be able to implement during the transition phase the ability to cover those Social Security checks and so forth for people through the Republic at some point in time. But there may be a transition period where they struggle. But for those in the Republic, we will be able to cover it.
Wonderful. That answers my second question, too. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Is that it? Thank you, Terry. I have one more question for you. What was your last name again before we...
Dredla. Capital D-R-E-D-L-A.
Dredla. Got it.
Dredla.
Robert, I'd like to comment on that if you don't mind.
Oh, please. Go ahead, Mr. President.
The package that we're putting together through the banking and all will give the people the ability to have enough wealth. They probably won't need Social Security in the future. If they draw it, that's fine. Their retirement and all will be fine, but at some point, we believe the de facto is going to fail and they're going to lose all that. So we're making provisions so people can actually do things like bring their homes in and receive payments and without any or lump sums or payments, however they want to structure that, without any repayment. And we're working on with Congress to try to make that happen. So there's a lot of financial incentives that we will have in the Republic for the people to take care of those issues. So I think the people are going to be very pleased with the packages we're putting together.
All right, very good. Boy, I tell you, exciting things are happening in this republic. Absolutely exciting. Next caller is out of Tennessee, area code 423-504. Good evening.
Hello, this is Morris Porter out of Tennessee.
Morris, we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Would you please speak into your phone, please?
Is that better?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This is Morris. I was wondering if we have any information about the treaty that needs to happen. I think that's the next step. Any information regarding this treaty that we need for our financial situation? That's my question. Are you?
Thank you, Mr. Porter.
Well, we are working on some treaties with several nations, but we don't have anything done yet, and that will have to be approved by Congress when we send our ambassadors over there. But we have already, I have spoken personally to some people in other countries to work some treaties with, and that will help set up some things that we're trying to do right now, and financially as well as politically, to help strengthen our republic and do some things that we need to do for our people.
Speaker Lounsbury, would you like to weigh in on where that process is in the halls of Congress and how we kind of expect that to work together with what the president's needs are?
Well, Congress won't be probably addressing that until some specific treaties or specific requests are made by the president or by ambassadors that are sent. Once that comes back, once we know what those are, then we'll be able to address it and determine what needs to be done to implement those treaties. There are some things being done in committees that are preparing like what-if scenarios, and they are doing some of that kind of work so that when the treaties do come, they will be able to have a lot of that thought process has already been worked through. So that's kind of where the Congress is at right now in the committees.
Thank you, sir. Our next caller is out of Vermont, area code 802-272. Good evening, sir, or ma'am, or caller.
Hi. How you doing, sir? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. What is your name?
My name is Representative Edward Gauthier, sir.
Edward, what's your last name? Gauthier, is that what I heard you say?
Yes, sir.
Okay, welcome.
I got two questions. Okay, one is for the president. I was wondering if he received my email. The second question is, I was asking someone by email several times if they could get rid of my old email for me. I think that would eliminate a lot of problems that I'm having. If that would be possible, I would appreciate it very much. It would be e.gauthier@republiccongress.org. It's my old email. And I don't know who would be responsible for that, but I was asking if there's any way somehow they can cancel that email out. But as far as that goes, I got a question for the Mr. President. I would like to get an answer from him, please. And I yield the floor, and I thank you.
Yes, Edward, the answer is yes. I did receive your email yesterday, and I have read the email, and I will respond to it. I have not had time. I've been kind of busy the last few days, but I haven't forgotten you, and I will respond to it. And I do appreciate your offer to do some research, and we do need some. So I'll be getting with you on that.
I appreciate doing it for you, sir, and my ability to do it for you is fully 100%. I thank you very much for what you're doing.
Well, we thank you, and thank you for your offer to do the research, because that oftentimes we don't have the time to do proper research that we need to do, and it will be a great blessing for us to have someone to do that.
Okay. I also want to let you know the court date's going pretty good here. It's getting to be pretty knowledgeable and pretty extensible, and I think they got in a position that they can't get out of now, and so I just want to let you know that was said.
Well, good deal. I'm glad.
You know, Representative, I just want to make a comment, or perhaps you do, Janine, about some of our technology with email addresses and stuff, and perhaps Speaker Lounsbury, you'd like to weigh in on it too?
Yes. Representative Gauthier, for issues that you're having with your your congressional email address, please send an email to houseadmin@republiccongress.org. And, or you can
I've
even send.
That. I've done that.
Okay,
I've
then.
I've done that several times and no response, and still active.
Okay, then let's try sending it to Senate admin. Okay, go ahead.
This is Speaker Lounsbury. Your e.gothier address is deleted.
Thank you very much, sir. That's all I need. Now you have the floor.
Now, do people have your new one, your updated one?
I'll get that to you right now. It's ED. Gauthier@republiccongress.org.
Is it IER or IA?
IER.
Okay. At Republic Congress. Very good.
I want to thank you all, people. You all have been patient with me. Sometimes I talk about off the topics and stuff just because I'm new at the things. And just bear with me, and I'll try the best I can not to talk about silly stuff.
Well, you are more than welcome to the Republic, and we are all on a learning curve, and if we hold each other to too high a standard, we're going to miss the mark. So welcome.
Okay.
We take you as you are.
Thank you very much, sir, and thank you, Mr. President, for all the things you've done for us, and thank you all for the Republic.
Very good. Janine, before we go to our next caller, I have an email that I would like to read, and I'm not necessarily asking this to be responded to tonight. I just want us all to absorb it. So this person has a number of serious questions that he would like answers to and is in no way meaning to tear down what we're doing. Here are the questions. Where are these 12 million people who are already to join the Republic that Tim has been talking about? And we never seem to be more than 200 people on any given call, and 12 million would surely make us our number more formidable. Number two, to quote Tim, we missed out on not having our funding the first quarter of this year as our ducks were not in a row. So, okay, now they are, and so what is the problem with it being released since we are told it is in the bank at a meeting in Florida? Three, why is there a need for all the secrecy when, according to Tim, everyone from the military, Supreme Court, etc., are on our side and want the Republic to rise already? I mean, I am former U.S. Army Special Forces and law enforcement, and I have a secret security clearance. And if we are so up and up and legal and doing things right, then what is there to hide? It does seem that there is some kind of a private club or only a handful of people are having that we all have the right to know. His fourth question. I have been told so many stories about the funding and where it comes from that I have determined that there are a lot of groups saying different things. Latest I heard is that it comes from a rich family in Turkey from King Solomon, that no one seems to know what is going on. I never expected a penny and had no idea that I was even to get paid. So it is not about the money. It is about the credibility. His fifth point. I will state for the record that I don't know Tim and don't want to make any judgments, but I heard one statement from him about being offered millions and then another of billions to abandon the Republic. Well, with less than 200... Well, he's speaking in error there, but anyway, with less than 200 on any given call, you would think thousands would be fair to quit this already because it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. I mean, all we do is to sit on phone calls to legislate and argue over what is put a comma and whether to where to put a comma or whether or not a ranger is constitutional or not. People, wake up. We have no money, and until we have some money to pay anyone, then all we are doing is playing government, and I am past already to have a building secretary nameplate and do something real already. His sixth point is, if the Supreme Court wants us to rise so much, then how come they won't even hear the argument about Obama not being legit? And then they could get rid of him, and then it might or might not make a difference. If we got our chance in comparison to this idiot running the show and ruining our country. I am truly sorry for my tone, but as I said, I am ex-military, law enforcement, and now am a full-time servant of the Lord. Unprofitable in every way, but I just want to get one story already about this issue that can be trusted and brought out into the light, and I'm very tired of all the stories, lies, etc. being told, especially when some of it just doesn't make any sense at all. I'm not Einstein, but I'm not stupid to just follow cunning devised fables either. I would truly appreciate some answers, and then I am ready to defend our position. Until then, this is all getting more sketchy as the weeks roll by, and I am not the only one to feel this way. I am just the only one to stand up so far. I really appreciate this email. I'm going to leave your name and identity anonymous, if you don't mind. And if there is any of our Mr. President or anyone else who would like to address any part of it, I just want to say this. I'm not asking for us to justify any of the how been performed, promises not fulfilled, that sort of stuff. I'd just like you to speak to the tone of his heart, the tone of his questions, the sincerity of his person, and recognizing that Rome was not built in a day. Mr. President.
I would like to address that, Robert.
Sure. Go ahead, sir.
The 12 million people I spoke of when I was in Florida are the Hispanic community out in the southwestern United States primarily that are we have a representative of that community who is a news reporter out there in Los Angeles that has a listening audience of over 12 million people, which are primarily Hispanics. Many of these are business people. Many of these have been in the country for 20, 30 years, and they want to be a part of what the Republic is about, and those are the 12 million people that I spoke about. And I'm not sure. What was the second question? I'll be happy to address these.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me go back to it here and take it one at a time. Number two is we missed out on the funding last quarter of this year, and our ducks were not in a row. Okay, so what's the problem with it being released since we were told it is in the bank?
The funding is in safe place. It is currently I can't go into a whole lot of detail because if I do, the funders will scold me severely. We did have some problems in doing some things with the funding because of threats from the de facto, which shouldn't surprise anybody. It's made it very difficult. Things are moving. They're just moving more slowly than we had been told they would, but nothing has changed on that front. It's just been extremely slow because there was a threat to the funding, and therefore they had to change things a bit. And I can't go into details because if I do, the funders don't want me talking about the details. And I'm not allowed to speak about the details in public anymore. They'll walk away if I do. That's what I've been told. So I'm sorry I can't give you any more information than that, but the funding has not changed. It's been slowed down, there's no doubt. Nothing I can do about that. God's in control of that. I can't make it happen any faster than it's happening. I've tried to do everything I can within my power, but that's where we stand with the funding.
Okay. The next question is open to you and any other branch of government here. Is what is the need for all this secrecy when, according to the president, everyone from the military, Supreme Court, et cetera, is on our side and want the Republic to rise already? He goes on to talk about it.
Our people inside at all levels that want the Republic to make it. Unfortunately, we've had over 30 military men killed by the administrations that we've had in the last few years in Washington. And if we come out publicly with the information that this gentleman is requesting, we would put people's lives in jeopardy, and I'm not about to do that. I love our people in the military, and I appreciate the service very much. I would never put one of them in jeopardy by exposing them to the public.
Very good. His next point is So he was talking then about, let's see, that's there, okay. I've been told so many stories about funding. You've already covered that about the rich families from King Solomon, et cetera. So he's just asking about credibility, and you've really answered that, and I would like to respect what you say and just simply not talk about that right now.
Well, I can't talk about the details of the funding in public. I'm not allowed to do that. I would love to share what I know, but I'm not allowed to do that because I was told directly by the funders that if I expose what's going on behind the scenes, they will walk away because it's not safe for them, and I respect that very much. And so I don't talk about the details. And that's where it's at, and there's nothing else I'm going to do. Now, I do take exception to the fact that he insinuated that I've lied to him about the funding and told many different stories. I've not told but one story since the beginning, and I've told the same story every time. So I do take exception to the fact I have not lied to you, and that offends me greatly that you would say that when you have actually twisted my words even in your own email.
I guess I didn't interpret it that way. I got the interpretation that he had heard many stories. I don't know that he was, but if he's saying it directly.
But he insinuated in the email that I had told lies, and I don't appreciate that because I've not told anybody a lie. And I'll stand before God Almighty, my creator, one day, and he'll verify that to you.
Very well. So I know I've forwarded this to you, so you have the opportunity to have a direct response to him on that. So he talks about playing government and because we don't have money. And before you answer, Mr. President, I would just like to say this, that, sir, we're clearly not playing government. We are the government. We are the people's government. And God's ways are not man's ways. Man's ways say that you have to have all the money in place, otherwise you can't do the work that he's calling us to do. I would say that is not the way the God I serve works. He opens the door. He opens the next right door for each one of us. He's calling each of us who are part of this republic, who are called to this republic, to show up, to step up to the plate, to do our specific calling that he prompts our hearts to. And we are seeing already, I mean, tonight on this call, the volume of progress that I'm hearing working through our halls of Congress are dynamic and exciting to me. What the president's reporting from the field are dynamic and exciting to me. So we are the government. We are not playing government. We are living that. And in due course, we'll step into it and all of the other pieces, which is the necessary resources to take this to the next level that God ordains, will occur. It is occurring.
It is occurring. And I suggest those that want to complain about nothing happening, get out and make something happen.
Amen.
You sit
Amen.
Around and complain about it not happening. It's not up to me to make it happen. It's up to us to make it happen. And if you're not out making things happen in this republic, you have no right to complain.
I'll give you a story of somebody who is out there making this happen. And I'm not going to say his name, but I'm going to say this. He had the opportunity to go and take a week's vacation at a lake, and God prompted him to go to a EFT seminar. He went to this seminar because he had an inner prompting. That's what he was supposed to do. He went there, and God used him to minister to folks at that EFT conference who are pivotal in this republic in ways that only God can do surgery. He was obedient and faithful to that. He didn't have the money to go to the actual conference. He got there. He didn't have the money to go to his next destination, was given some money at that conference because that was the next step that God had for him. He obeyed that inner calling. He went to the next location, which was 15 or more hours away, arrived at that location and didn't have gas to get to the next location. God met him at that location, provided the resources he needed to go to the next step. That man is walking in faith. He's walking in what God's calling him to do in this republic, and I bear witness to the fact that he has blessed my life repeatedly in his work in this republic, and he's not a frontline guy at all. He is behind the scenes doing what God has ordained him to do. So anyway, I say that. Janine's reminding me we're at 2 hours, so sir, we've given you answer your questions in this email. Let's see if I had one left. The last one's about the Supreme Court and Obama. Did you or Chief Justice Peachey want to talk about that at all?
Did you ask me or Justice Peachy to answer that?
Either Mr. President, yourself, if you want to respond to it, or Chief Justice Peachy.
Yeah, well, I would love to be able to say I know the answer why they won't deal with an unlawful president who is not even a citizen of this nation, but I don't know the answer to that question. You'd have to talk to the Supreme Court to figure that out, I guess.
The de facto or the de jure? Go ahead, Chief Justice Peachy.
Yeah, it's pretty evident that the Supreme Court is bought and paid for, has been since 1867, I believe, is when they started changing over or getting ready for the changeover. So the Supreme Court that we have today is really not the Supreme Court for the people or the Article III Supreme Court we read about in the Constitution. It is the U.S. Supreme Court. It is the corporation's Supreme Court. So it will probably always function as best as it can for the corporation. So that's about the answer that I can give.
Very good. And it's up to them to deal with their own kind, right?
Yeah. And they're probably the Supreme Court, you know, the last years, you know, we think they could have made changes. They could have corrected that, but they're bought and paid for. In fact, the nine justices actually had a meeting with Obama, I think a little bit before the election or right after the election at some point in time. Why did they have a meeting with Obama? What were they planning? They're all bought and paid for.
Well, they had all come to light.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is out of MS. Is that Missouri? 601-416. Good evening, caller. You have the floor. Hello. Janine, will
Robert, it's Mississippi instead of Missouri. Maybe that's got them confused.
Oops.
Mississippi, you have the floor.
Janine.
Yes.
Hi, this is Beverly from Mississippi.
Hello, Beverly.
Yes, I was wondering about in the Republic, will we be able to get marriages and such as that reported in our courts, and also things like birth certificates and death certificates and
yeah. You ask me that question?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I'm working on a birth record form right now for that will be lodged in the Common Law Court of Records. So, yes, that is all in progress. Pretty much the marriages and the births and the marriages and the deaths, you know, they belong in the hands of the people and the people's record. But the people need a place for that to be officially recognized as an official record, and that is in the Common Law Court of Records, which we are setting up the structure of it, and we'll be providing the charter for that, you know, just any time now. You know, we're busy, and we always takes more time than what we want it to take. But, yes, it's absolutely right. That will be provided for.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Beverly. Jake Schrake, you're next in line. Good evening, sir.
Oh, all right. Thank you. I have a question about Justice Schaefer last week. I think he referenced the notion that the Licensing Act are products of Admiralty Maritime jurisdiction. So, bringing a function of Admiralty Maritime into common law, would that not be creating a hybrid jurisdiction of some sort? Like the Civil Procedures Act, I believe, is what amalgamated all the jurisdictions into one hybrid jurisdiction, which has actually worked wonderful for the U.S. corporation at the expense of the people. So I guess my question is, how would that work out in the Republic?
Well, Jake, I don't see Justice Schaefer on the call this evening, and I certainly wanted to give him more of an opportunity to expound his what his understanding is. So unless you can find him in the queue, Janine, perhaps we could open this up to Chief Justice Gorla or Nathan Peachy.
Absolutely. Yes. I thought the man was an excellent speaker.
I have not found him on the call this evening, but both Justice Peachy and Justice Gorla are unmuted.
Gentlemen.
This is Justice Gorla. I can, I think, maybe address the caller's question if I understand it correctly. I recall Justice Schaefer speaking about the two types of law. There's the law of the sea and the law of the land. And they were, in fact, as the caller mentioned, united under the civil code. And I don't believe Justice Schaefer has any intent to encourage Congress to do that for the Republic. What his discussion concerns, I've heard a number of times, is actually how are they going to protect the captains of the ships, the vessels that came ashore up the main rivers, such as the St. Lawrence Seaway or the Mississippi or other tributaries such as the Columbia River up in Washington, and in California. The point of the discussion was to say that it was good intent, but I think that the civil code destroyed the intent and did in fact injure a lot of the people. That's about as far as I can go. I'm sorry if we get Justice Schaefer on the call next time. I hope you'll repeat the question.
And unfortunately, it looks like our caller had dropped off and didn't hear your answer. I'm sorry.
Well, then I can safely say I hope I was right.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, we'll give him an opportunity. In fact, Janine, let's try to get him on a future call here and go into it in more depth. Because the whole area is very interesting. I'd like to hear more about it myself. All right, Janine.
All right, let's go with Gus in Arizona.
Hi, Gus, how are you?
Yes, this is Representative Gus in Arizona. Now that the Ranger program has been passed, and this is for President Turner, President, you mentioned that you had groups of people, I'm not sure whether they were military or whatever, that were eager, chomping at the bit to be part of the Rangers. Could you expand a little more on that now that the Ranger program is established?
Sure, Gus, I'd be happy to do that. There are a number of people who've contacted me across the nation. Many of them are former Special Forces retired that are interested in helping the Republic. There are some just normal, regular military retired, and these folks network across the country. And some of the key people in these groups have contacted me and showed interest, or expressed interest at least, in helping support the Ranger program. And some of them have said they would absolutely join us and be part of it. And these are the groups that we're going to probably try to organize and at least try to help us put together maybe a volunteer force at first. Since we don't have the funding in place yet, we may ask for volunteers. I'm talking to the Chief of Security and the people in charge of the Ranger program about this now to see how the best way to approach that is. But I think that we could raise a formidable group of people that already have a lot of training and education in law enforcement, or at least in weapons trained and military type operations, and bring them to an orientation program. One thing they need to understand, and this is the issue that we have with most groups, is that they need to understand that the Rangers are peace officers. They're not a fighting force. They're not a military. They're peace officers, and their primary function is to protect the lives and the property and the rights of the American people. They're not there to work to create revenue. They're not there to work for the big government. They're there to protect the people, and I am very adamant about that. They will protect the people, or they won't have a job. Even when we do hire Rangers, they are under a very strict code, and they will take an oath, and they will uphold that oath, and anyone that doesn't uphold that oath and protect the rights, property, and lives of the people will be removed. And we're not going to play those games. And they will be notified and go through an orientation program so they'll fully understand what the Rangers are for. The Rangers are there for the people. And that's as simple as we can make it. They're there to protect the people.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Gustafson?
No, I yielded on that, and thank you for the answer, President.
Thank you. See you next week.
Yes.
Very good. David Thompson out of area code 864-836. Good evening.
Hello. Boy, this has been great. I'm a Vietnam vet, 63 to 67, and I've been making it my business to go out here in northern South Carolina, Free State, and spread the word to 6 to 10 people every day. And I've been told, I pass out literature and stuff, most of which I've written, and that I can't put the Republic reference on it, so I don't. And how do I get something cleared through you so that I might?
Well, David, I'll speak as one free man to another. Just do it. You have a right to free speech. You have a right to put out the word the way that you see it is. And you can put a thing at the bottom that says, this is my opinion. That's my unofficial response to you. And,
well, the question can I mention the Republic? Specifically in South Carolina, because that's where I am.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We highly recommend that you mention the Republic.
Well, excellent. Thank you very much. I yield.
Yeah.
Well, David,
right.
Before
thank
you yield,
for your effort.
I want to thank you very much for your service and your dedication to go out and speaking on not only your service in the military in Vietnam, but in your dedication to continue to do the real work, which is to set our fellow Americans free, free in the mind, free in recognizing that we're entrapped in a system that's not American. So
well,
thank you.
I'm very serious about this. Thank you much.
And
well, we thank you for your service to our nation and to our people, and thank you for your dedication still to help us build this proper government.
Excellent. I yield.
Good evening, sir. Yes! Freedom!
Sorry, I had to do that.
Thank you, Jimmy. All right, Mark Gardner, you're next. I saw you also Skyped over a question. Good evening, sir. Mark Gardner, you have the floor. Can you hear me? We cannot hear you.
Okay, I didn't know I was muted, but I'm here now, I guess. Thank you for letting me the meeting today. I'd like to do a Gabus update on what's going on with the development of the automated membership processing system, and then also to ask a question of the justices. The automated membership processing system prototype is under development by the Gabus team with the assistance of Mr. and others, and we should be able to get this thing up and running here pretty quick. Now, it won't be able to be used until we pay for it, but we can demonstrate it, and once funding comes, we'll be able to just flip on the switch and it'll start running. Our Treasury team is working under the direction of the Treasury of the Secretary and with the help of the people and the treasurers of the states in discussions for the development of the Treasury funding distribution systems. So we are hard at work in trying to identify what is necessary to get the IT portions of this system up. A lot of discussion going on, very productive. May take a little bit of time, but we're working on it. Also, to President Turner, now that the Ranger program has been approved by Congress, how long do you feel it will take to get the first Rangers up and running? And how big do you see this initial force being, Mr. President?
This is Speaker Lounsbury. He had to step away for a moment.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, I can hold on that question. Maybe I can come back. Question for the justices then. How does the U.S. Code relate to the Code of Federal Regulations, and will it be necessary to adopt the United States Code in order to adopt any of the titles of the Code of Federal Regulations?
This is Nathan.
Yes.
The U.S. Code is not law. It is U.S. code. It is United States Corporation Code. So now, but if you look at the code, what I usually do is, and we want to put that book up on the website. I'm not sure when it's going to get up there. I guess whenever they put it up, the web programmer. But the revised statute was printed in 1875, which was the first code book. But it was based on the statutes at large, which went all the way up to the second edition of the revised statute. It was printed in 1875, but it encompassed the years from the initiation of the Republic up until December the 1st of 1873. So it's just a little bit of de facto in it. But the revised statute was the first attempt to reorganize the statutes at large so they're easier to find. And so that's what I would use. So the U.S. Code today are based off of the original statutes at large, but there's a lot missing, and they're really not law at all. So go ahead,
Mark. I'm going to have to stop you there. We've been at the call coming up on 2.5 hours. We have quite a number left in the queue, and we're trying to limit it here to 3 minutes. So I definitely welcome you to pick it up as we move forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Tracy Guyon, I'm sorry to cut you off, Chief Justice Apeachy, but I realize that we can only endure as much as our seats can endure, and so we're trying to keep the call down to 2.5 hours if we can. We used to keep it to 90 minutes, but we're opening it up to unlimited questions and answers now. So, okay, Tracy Guyon, or Guyon Tracy, good evening.
No, you've got it right, Tracy. I'm not even pronouncing my own name right. Tracy Guyon from Indiana. Hey, I have a comment and then a question, please. To the military man that had sent in the email, my husband has served with the 101st Airborne Division Infantry in Vietnam, and I asked God to talk to his heart. My question is, I wondered if Congress was anywhere near a solution for the IRS coming against individuals that is working in the private sector.
Chief Justice Peachy? Or Speaker Lounsbury, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I need to clarify that question a little bit. I'm not sure exactly what you meant as far as Congress. Could you clarify that for me?
Well, sure. I'm sorry. There was a question directed by me a few weeks ago that President Turner had addressed, to where my private sector employer had received a notice of levy against my wages, and they acted upon that and President Turner had said that Congress was working on a solution for that.
Okay, I think I know what you're referring to. Yeah, basically he was referring to our courts being set up so that we could begin to address some of those types of issues. And yes, Congress has passed the legislation as of today, as a matter of fact, that all of the courts are going to be positively be set up in the states, the district courts, and they will be able to begin moving cases into our courts.
Okay, so that would be to where I would be able to take it into our court.
Correct. You'd have to go through whatever process it is to make that appeal to our court, and then they would take you through that process in dealing with the issue in our court. And if that's dealt with through a jury's trial system, if it needs to go that direction, I'm not sure exactly what your case is about, but if it needs to go to that level, then by law, they couldn't retry that case or couldn't deal with that issue in their courts.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Does that work for you? Enough of an answer for now?
Yes, it is. I thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Our next caller is Gary Holder out of, 509. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Gary Holder, Secretary of State of Washington Free State. I have, and I would like to make a comment and then a quick question after. I am a Christian, and not a special kind or anything like that. What I'd like to present to the Christians, call them Christians, and to an event in the scriptures that happened to Israel. And while we're out in the wilderness, one of the tests that God gave the people who seemed to complain, they complained about the snakes. And I say this kindly because I have to check myself continually and have found a remedy, an opposite effect of what is going to be said here. God told the people that since they complained, he would send the snakes on them. But he gave the people something to look for and remedy the problem, and that was the brazen serpent. And I don't have to actually go further how God takes care of his people who actually believe in the documents he has given us, which has been created after the fashion of the theocracy God had with his people. And so I'm saying that very lightly for the Christians to be alert and check themselves. The other thing I'd like to mention is the I am wanting to know, is the justice call a closed call, and is the legislature, national legislature session, is that a closed call? I seem to like to be on those calls, and I don't know if that's permissible. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you, Gary. Let's take your first question first, and that is the justice call. Are you referring to the call that the president is organizing for this, or is being the president announced that's being held this Thursday?
No, it's the call that the judicial call where they get together on Wednesdays to discuss, and it's a non-playback number. So that kind of tells me something, but is that a close call?
Chief Justice Peachy.
Yes. The only call that we're having right now is with the Supreme Court justices. We will be entertaining other calls, training calls in the future, very near future, once we have a website portal to where we can better and more effectively communicate with the other judges with that as a tool to use. Okay, we've been lacking we've been lacking in that. The executive branch and the legislative branch both have a very nice website where they operate through and network with their prospective people. We don't have that yet, but we are building that. And as soon as it's done, we're going to be putting the judges on the into the database and create our own email list and start networking with the justices and having these training calls and jury calls and grand jury calls.
Do you have a timeline on that, Chief Justice Peachy?
Well, it was supposed to be done a month ago already, and it's not quite finished yet.
The site looks good.
Yeah, it's getting better. Like I said, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on it yet. But, you know, Rick is a busy man. He's only so many hours a day, and it takes a long time, I guess. I don't
That's
know
right.
how they build a website, but I guess it takes a long time.
Okay, Speaker Lounsbury.
Yes, everyone's welcome on the Tuesday night House call. I believe the Senate and also the joint calls, but when the Senate is meeting by themselves, I believe they close that call at this point. The only time the House call would be closed or a joint session would be closed is if there was some kind of a security issue, and there's only been one call like that I'm aware of in the last year and a half. So for the most part, you are welcome.
Very good. Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on the call.
You're welcome, Gary, and I think you'll find once a month we send out a PDF that has all the links to the different websites and has the replay number and stuff on it. In fact, I even think it's at the bottom of the weekly Republic Roundtable, the dial-in number for Congress for a replay. So you can, I think, either be alive in the bleachers or in the, what do they call it, Speaker Lounsbury, in the gallery, or you can listen to it on a replay.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Our next caller again is out of Washington, Don Ford. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just wanted to thank you for taking my question. Actually, I just want to make a brief statement that in regards to the other caller that had called in, I put in a lot of hours for this republic as a volunteer senator in the state of Washington, and I work at the expense of my family, many, many hours, evenings during the week on committee calls, and research during the day. And I just want everyone to know that I'm not playing government. This is not something we're playing at. But we know that that's something that's worth something and will cost something. And I believe God is helping us. I don't mind the sacrifice. But I would just hope that our fellow members in this republic would not take issue with the pace that we're moving at, but the quality of work, but instead would look at the quality of work that's being done. And I guess my question would be to the president. I'm hoping that this Ranger Act that I was privileged to work on will be implemented very quickly. We're sensing that, that as we move forward toward this Continental Congress, that we're going to need this protection. And that was my question. Is it something that we'll be able to put together in the next 90 days and yield with that? Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Don, and I appreciate your dedication. I know you work very hard, and I thank you for that. I wish I could tell you a number of days that we would have it up and working. I can't do that. We're working with the leaders of the Ranger program to hopefully set up a volunteer program until we can get funding in place. And that's what we're trying to do now. There are many people out there that have training and are ex-law enforcement or current law enforcement that could help fill in. And many retired military, many of them recently retired, that love what the Republic is doing. And I've already had a number of calls from people that want to be ranked as soon as we got the legislation up and running. And I think that we'll probably draw on a volunteer group to start with, and because that's all we can do right now. We don't have funding to pay the people right now. None of us are being paid. So we do this because it's a labor of love, and it's necessary for us to save our nation. And so we will be starting on it right away. We just got that. I just got notification that the bill was passed while I've been on this call tonight. So we just got the information ourselves, and we're ready to move forward.
Very good.
Thank you, Don.
And your heartfelt statement was well noted. So thank you for your service. Rowdy Templer out of Iowa. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, sir. Mr. President, I want you to know that today we signed into law, had the governor sign into law, our Republic for Iowa Security Act, and we're very proud to be participating in this republic, and a lot has happened since you were here. And I do have one question for you. And for anyone else that wants to, my theory is that when we have, and we want 2,000 to 5,000 rangers in Iowa, we have 99 counties, we don't have that many large cities, but I believe the rangers are going to be a source of information to a lot of people who, when they learn about the Republic, are going to come in, and they're going to be able to speak with a great deal of authority. They're men who can uphold their oath compared to agents in the de facto and law enforcement that are not. Do not abide by an oath. And I just wanted your thoughts on that, the impact that the rangers are going to have in the several states that do participate by having state rangers, sir.
The rangers are going to make a very definite impact on the people of America, because the rangers are a different breed than the current law enforcement. They are peace officers there to protect the people, as I said earlier on the call. They are not there to arrest people or write tickets or create revenue or harass the people. They're there to protect the people from those threats that exist, and that is the purpose of the rangers. There's been a lot of controversy over the ranger program through lack of understanding of the purpose of the rangers as well as the law, and thank God Congress saw through that and got things together and got it passed, because it's something we definitely need. We have to have the rangers in order to function for our court system to function properly, because they do transfers of prisoners, and they do the work in the court as security and a number of other things. But they are there to protect the people. They're there to protect their rights and their property. And I can tell you the leaders of the Ranger program are very adamant about that.
Thank you, sir. By the way, I serve on the Armed Services Committee. I was very proud to be a stalwart in support of this, because God gave me the understanding very early on of just how dynamic this would be for the people and for the growth of the Republic, and to help people make up their minds to understand that there is enforcement, their rights are secure, and the American Rangers and the Republic for Iowa Rangers and other state rangers are going to see to that for them. So God bless the Republic, sir. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Rowdy. And another thing I'd like to say is that once the law enforcement agencies out here interact with the rangers and see what the rangers are doing, you're going to see a mass influx of people that are currently law enforcement. They're going to want to be rangers once they see what the job is really, truly about. And that's, you're going to see that at some point in the future, particularly when we get funded. They're going to like what the rangers do.
Amen. Well, our last caller is from Arizona. Good evening, caller. You have the floor, 602-653. You may be muted, so please unmute yourself.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Speak into your microphone, please. We have a very hard time hearing you.
You can hear me?
Hold on. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, my name is David Gauthier, and this ain't Arizona. This is the Free State of Vermont. And
okay.
And I've been so keen and so determined and so on point about being part of the Ranger program. I went to jail for trying to be a Ranger. I got actually arrested for voicing my opinion about trying to be part of the Ranger program. And that ticked me off so much that it bothers me, because I truly do want to be a Ranger, because what better person to know and to be a Ranger is somebody that knows the system. I've been in and out of the system. I've been all through the system, and I know how the system works, and I know how they're getting around the system, inside the system. So that's why I truly want to be a Ranger, so I can help people that really need it. And as far as the pay goes, I don't care if I get paid 10 years from now. I want to be part of the Ranger program. I want to be in the Ranger program, because that's how determined I am to be there for my people.
Well, thank you, David. I would just say this. I just want to speak to the tone of what I hear. I absolutely champion your zeal. I want to caution you about something, and I don't know any more about your circumstance than this. I just want to say this. This is God's army. This is God's movement that's moving in this republic. He orders our steps. And if you know anything, and I don't know what your background is, your military background or anything like that is, there is a time when you follow the lead. There's a time to hold your fire. There's a time to bide and be patient. There's a time to wait when it feels like you should be firing your musket. And there's a time to just hold until such time as we've been given the go-ahead. So can I just speak a word of encouragement to you, that the desires of your heart are what the Lord planted there. Allow Him to orchestrate the unfolding of it in an orderly manner, and be mindful to listen to the pace and the tone that He's moving the Republic forward, and try not to get ahead of it in your zeal.
I understand that.
Okay,
and
very good.
Like I said, all I want to do is be able to help the people that need to be helped, because I do also, even when the Rangers do come in effect and our government is fully established and set in to where we're up and running, I know of a lot of people that are incarcerated in that right now, not just because they're friends of mine, but people I have had talking with that are going through issues. Like, we have a Native American chief that's sitting in jail right now illegally, because the de facto went on the reservation and arrested him because of who he was, which is totally illegal. But that's besides the point. All I wanted to say is that I want to be part of the Ranger program, so whenever I can get information on that, please, you can contact me either through Senator David Gagne, or you could reach me at sovereignrights@yahoo.com, and that would be S-O-L VereignRights@yahoo.com. I don't even know what's spelled wrong.
Thank you very much,
sir.
It's
spelled wrong. I had to spell it that way because somebody else had the original spelling already.
All right.
I spelled it wrong on purpose like that.
We like your creativity there, David.
Well, yes, sir. You know, and thanks to me, as soon as Dave can get a chance, I've been harping on him for 2 days now to send this document that I have that helps out all sovereigns, right, with a de facto government where they cannot arrest, detain, or anything a sovereign.
Thank you, David.
I found this online.
We're going to leave
and
it.
David,
hang on. We're going to leave. We're going to leave it there for the time being. Thank you for your contribution.
Right.
I would like to give our guests an opportunity to make any closing comments before we close in a word of prayer. Go ahead, President Turner.
Robert, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody that participated in the call tonight. look forward to Monday night and next Thursday night call as well. And God bless the Republic, and God bless the people that are in the Republic.
Thank you, sir. Good evening. Chief Justice Peachey.
Yes, I appreciate the call and appreciate everybody joining the call. God bless everybody and keep looking up. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and good evening. Speaker Lounsbury.
Yes, Congress is an exciting place to be, so I encourage you to join us on Tuesday evenings and listen in so that you can get a flavor for what we're doing on a weekly basis.
All right, and be sure, I would just like to put a plug in for Congress. Make sure you take an opportunity to go to republiccongress.org, go to the public page, and review all of the exciting legislation and developments of what Congress has done and what they continue to do for us. All right, I would like to close the call with the gentleman who opened us with prayer, Roger Alexander. I'm going to put you under the bus here and trust that you have a word to close us with this evening.
Can you hear me all right?
Perfectly.
Okay, thank you. I'll keep this real brief. I'd like to just read a couple of scriptures in 2 Kings chapter 7. And there were in chapter 3 here, it says, or in verse 3, it says, there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit here until we die? And in verse, they went through the gate, and in verse 6, the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us. The point here is that we can't just sit down. We have to get up and do something, and God will fight for us and make our footsteps as the sound of chariots and the trumpets. And he will speak for us and fight for us and go ahead of us. And with that, we just thank you, Lord, for this great evening. We thank you for all the guests. All that was said tonight is absolutely wonderful. We thank you for your anointing on it. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in this with us, for us, and there isn't anybody who can come against us. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings in this republic, and this republic is the answer for this United States of America, and it has been in the making for a while. And we would like to thank all the patriots that have been the forerunners of this republic for the United States. And we thank you for everybody on this call, and God bless all of them. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Roger. Thank you very much. I would just like to encourage the remaining callers on the call that we have a prayer call for the Republic for those who are prompted. It's on Monday nights at 5:30. If you are prompted to join us, I invite you to do so. The details are posted in several locations. So, Janine, if you would, close us out with a song. God bless you all. See you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Janine.
operate.